Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 359. No mud, no lotus. Now, that would be a direct steal from Sir Mosher. I think I've gotten like two or three titles from him recently. But I love that. And I have no idea if that came from a podcast or something he read or what. But, you know, you got to go through mud, literally, to find a lotus. So if you want the experience, the beauty, you know, everything that the lotus flower offers, to get to it, you need to go through the mud because that's where they live. So it's kind of like that pro-you path. It's a path of self-discovery. That doesn't mean, yay, fun, unicorns, bunnies, purple clouds. And what I'm putting together is that people that really kind of stop, pause, and reflect. It's hard to carry on everything else that you're doing, your normal life. Like for me, I kind of slowed down. You know, Scotty Mosher kind of slowed down. And there's certain people where it's like, now you're supposed to fill your time pausing, reflecting, stopping, looking within. And that's mud. That's the cocoon. You know, the butterfly comes out. But whilst that caterpillar was in that cocoon, I'm telling you, that wasn't a good time. Trust me. I just have a real deep feeling that whatever that caterpillar went through in that cocoon to change into a butterfly, but it was just not comfortable. Could not have been fun or easy or quick. But you get it when you see the butterfly. Like, yeah, of course, you were that round, fat, puffy thing crawling on the ground slow, and now you're this beautiful thing that can fly. That's why you go through the cocoon. That's why you get into the mud. And that's why you have to accept. I go over Scotty Mosher notes in the lab. And one of the things that we, you know, kind of keep touching on is that whole feeling. You kind of have to separate yourself from how it feels. You know, there's people that are like, I am my feelings. And it's pretty difficult to talk those people out of it. But you're not. Feelings are temporary. But again, you get that or you don't. And if you do, you're on the right path. Just know, again, it's just not always easy. You know, it's just, you know, Scotty and I are talking about like real deep, cool, dope things. But neither one of us are going, dude, that was so easy. But I get a big share from a longtime listener, and I haven't got one for a while, and I share that. I have this very, very dope short Zen story article that I read. And then I go over, of course, I mentioned the Mosher notes in the lab. And then I share a little bit about, you know, I've been experiencing this level of thankfulness and this level of being present in these, you know, just amazing moments in my life seeming to kind of get better every day. And but it kind of hits me that I have this purpose and I literally can help the people that I care about, the people that are in my lives. I have answers for, I have things to share. And that, you know, again, it's like the peace of purpose, which might be the next title. But it's really that, like, I need not. And I mentioned that. I can't even remember how. And then I came up with this hashtag, nothing else needed. And I'm like sitting there talking to a client, going, I can help him. I got all the answers. And it's all I want. Yay. Way to go, Tom. What's next? No idea. What else you want? Nothing. Just want to help the people that I can. That's it. Take care of Zan. Take care of me. you know, the small world is just, I don't know, it's like it stays small or gets smaller, but yet there's this strength in it. It's, I get it. I can only control two or three things, but it makes my world small so I can dominate it. I've been doing it for so long that that's become a muscle. Like, I'm literally really good at doing me, blocking the noise, quieting the conversation, kicking yellow. Any yellow comes in, boom, automatically identified, kicked out. And that's like, wow, I get to share that with the people I care about. Like, I get to be, you know, if someone that I care about happens to need me, I want to be that 8.5 out of 10 in those moments. So again, that's what I'm selling. You become a better you, and you will benefit the people around you, which is a totally dope feeling in itself. So just by being you, just by being a better you, you find peace, you find purpose, and you affect those closest to you. It's a good time to be me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. It really, really means, I mean, I've said it a million times. Maybe not a million, close to it. How much I love doing the podcast and how thankful I am for doing the podcast. But it just keeps changing because now I'm like, boom, I just do it and I get on here and I get to, and I'm like, God, what a great vehicle. You know, what a great thing that I get to do. And then like when you read this fella who wrote in, it's like, wow, that's happening. You know, I'm sitting in my Zen garden by myself with my best friend Zen, and I record this thing, and I push some buttons, and I send it out there. And Nico wraps it up and presents it. And then that's it. I don't really know that much about it. And then someone will write in and go, hey, here's a ripple effect. And psh, my cup that was already overflowing overflows more. So of course I'm happy and I'm thankful, but that's what I'm selling. That's what lies ahead of you. Continue to be you. Deem yourself worthy. Thank you for listening. Enjoy. So I literally just arose from the floor, cuddling with Zen. I periodically do that. And as I walked over, he had just kind of turned into a position on the floor where he was laying, but his head popped out. It was in between two pillows. His eyes were looking up. It was just like, you gotta drop down in that moment, and you need to hug and kiss and smother that face. So that's where I am. But I'm back to the old stomping ground, Sunday a.m. I really enjoy doing it. So when I can, I do. So I've not got one of these in a while. And I've heard from this person a couple times, but he did a big share, and I've always appreciated these. I mean, it's always just fantastic fodder for the podcast, you know, just anyone else's words, voice, story, it's always welcomed. But I always felt very honored when people would kind of entrust in me their story, and they might open up for the first time or share something. And you know, personal growth is a gnarly thing. So, you know, it's the whole fear, uncomfortable thing. You know, why people don't want to go to a therapist, you know. You don't want people to really know what's going on in your side of your head. No, you do. You really want them to know so they can help you, so you can get it out of there. So, this cat's name is Jared. And thank you, Jared. This touched me. Hi, I've been listening to the Pro You podcast as I mow my lawn since the beginning, years ago. I had found it very nice to see another guy who seemed to be on the same spiritual journey I was on. I've related to your path and loved your insights. I felt like we have been dealing with similar issues in many ways and have found your insights on how you overcome these obstacles very helpful. I'm a licensed massage therapist and enjoy how my skill and compassionate touch has been able to impact others' lives and heal them. I feel lucky that in the healing of others, I get paid too. I've also related to your relationship with your parents. My father is a narcissist, and I also struggle to get his approval. He also has taught me a lot, but in our relationship, he has deeply scarred me emotionally and held me back. I, like you, have always also tried to take the high road and be the good son, but always got burned and ultimately know that I can't trust him. He does not have my best interest in heart. I have to be very careful not to share too many positives in my life, or he will cut me down. Guaranteed. It's always a competition, and he must win. I have struggled to keep positive and allow him in my life. Your insight in how you have to keep on your own path and not let anyone pull you down, even the family, has allowed me to put him aside and see this as it is, and move on to being my own self and happy with myself regardless of his perspective of me. See, when people I don't really know comment that they've listened to the podcast and then they share something like that, I'm like, wow. You know, well put, well worded, congrats. You know, just that I'm a part of this at all. Just, it's like the super dope of all things dope. This last year, my wife of 17 years dropped the I don't love you bomb. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Like people quoting me, I don't know, it might sound like a weird ego thing. It's not, but I just love it. You know, because it resonated with them, and then they owned those words, and now they use those words. And that's the ripple effect. I mean, I didn't make up, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. But I said it a whole bunch. And again, someone I've never met, going, okay, I'll use that tool. Hey, that tool worked. It was surprising to me and to my wife, /X, how quickly I was able to get over the loss of my support and friend. I thought she loved me, but I could feel it deep inside she didn't. So when she finally admitted it, I just moved on. I know it was because I had adopted your view of when bad things happen, how quickly can you see the positive? The three good tires. See, like, that just, I mean, it just, like, tickles my heart. It fills my cup. My cup overfloweth. When bad things happen, how quickly can you see the positive? The three good tires. Like, people using that. Like, I thought it was kind of funny for a long time. I mean, I always liked it, but, I mean, just hearts overflowing, man. If I was not already moving toward a better me and on the pro-you path, I don't think I would have been able to deal with this complicated new shift in my life. Your Zen perspective, which, I don't know, I've never heard, but love. Your Zen perspective and contentment in your alone state. Just all that. Your Zen perspective and contentment in your alone state. Focusing on the positives. I mean, it's someone that you commented about me. That's me you're talking about? You know, that's what I mean. It's a personal reward to get stuff like this. I mean, like I said, my cup completely overflowing. And to hear that, like, it's probably like my favorite line I've heard in a very long time. Your Zen perspective and contentment in your alone state, focusing on the positive, allowed me to be able to be okay with the idea of being alone for the first time in 17 years. And then that helps someone. Like I was with my ex for 14, and I knew that next day what that silence was. And you know, here's this cat for 17 years and closed that door, opened a new one, and that new one involved a bunch of silence. And that's what's impressive when he shares. I was immediately able to shift to what are the positives and make a leap to figure out what I'd like to do with the rest of my life. Like, wow, that's just fear, pity, sorrow, gone. Yep, that tire's flat. Got it. What are the three? What do we got? Okay, we got these three right here. These are my good ones. Okay, this is what I'm working with. So these just, I love that. I started to ask myself, what wasn't I able to do when I was married? See, that's perspective shift right there, mentally, manually. What if I turn it this way and look at this? Boom. So I ended up traveling to Australia and arrived with $200 in my pocket. No job, no plan. I just had complete trust that I was going to be okay and I'm able to figure things out. As the problem would arise, I would deal with it. I wanted to grow in new ways and I knew I would be supported on my path. I was, and that's a whole other story. So again, this dude, where most people be at the low point, goes, okay, I'm going to challenge myself completely. Go somewhere with no plan. And grow internally. Wow. In December, I returned to the USA. I have been going great. I have not been without complications, but I have been able to continue to see what was within my power and let the things I can't change just be. Boom. Unfortunately, your podcast was not available in Australia. What's up with that, Australia? Someone call Australia and let them know about PYP. Thanks. And since I came back to the States, I've been very busy the last year getting my new life back together, so I'm a bit behind. I haven't been able to listen to your podcast this past year. I am now enjoying your ProU podcast again and play it at my new job. Your voice letting me know that I can overcome that ending statement, you are worth it, knowing that I can be enough for me. I don't need another person to make me feel adequate. I just know who I am and what I have control of. I am always the one who is ultimately responsible for my response in all situations. Like to me, like that was written in stone and then it was written in a book and then it was passed on and then this guy read it and shared it with me. I know who I am and what I have control of. I am always the one who is ultimately responsible for my response in all situations. Boom. And sorry, not sorry, I don't care how you feel about that. You know, I want you to be a better you. I want you to get through stuff. I want you to experience all the things I'm experiencing. Come to my well by the water I sell. So that's what it is right there. I'm going to say it for, I don't know if I've repeated anything three times ever. So that's how much I love this, Jared. I just know who I am and what I have control of. I am always the one who is ultimately responsible for my response in all situations. Done and that's it. Like it, love it, don't want it, don't care, whatever. It's just there it is, black and white. Boom. A lot of booms going on, Jared. Very active message. These points are now just part of myself, which I love. I am content and grateful for the things I have now in my life, and I am the best version of me, love, and that I have ever been. I feel like I am ever prepared and in the moment. No worries about how others see me, just aware of how I want to respond. Much respect and gratitude. Thanks so much. You're so inspiring and amazing, and that's just very, very kind. Thank you. You're such an inspiration. Keep walking your path and sharing. You have no idea how much good you're doing. Those are always wonderful things, you know, because you're just hoping that there's a breeze out there and, you know, it's doing its job and it's, you know, got a little hashtag that I'm participating in that. There is so much negativity in this world, and your positive thoughts are planting seeds in others who then share and plant more positives in more people, and it just keeps growing. Thanks. That's that ripple effect, you know, the fact that he's able to see that, pay it forward. Love that more than anything. And I commented back to him, and he said, my father still contacts me, but I'm no longer seeking his approval, so it's a much different place. Now, instead of responding to him, I share my own wisdom. He occasionally gets it, but I no longer care who does or doesn't. I just walk my truths. That's powerful five words right there. Thanks for sharing your truth and showing me how to find my own path. So thank you, Jarrett. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing that. That was touching and moving and fulfilling and inspiring. And I'm grateful for you for sharing it and for doing all that, walking that path. And I don't know, this is the last podcaster, you know, he did. You know, you get up, you get the narrative going, okay, let's get along with that guy. Let's, okay, that guy doesn't really seem to like me, and you're doing this thing, and because that guy just affects you for a long time, and pretty soon you're like, you know what, I'm just going to go do this other thing. I'm going to go do plan B. And you start planting your seeds, watering them, growing them, realizing you have your own water to nurture your life, focus on your good, deem yourself worthy. And then there's that butterfly coming out of the cocoon. And, you know, you're pretty stoked on being the butterfly. So you write into the podcast guy and you're telling other people other things. And you're actually trying to go to the rock where you couldn't get water from and floating around trying to just drop some wisdom onto that dude as well. So, yay, yay, yay. You know, Jared and I have our story. But now we have the story. We have today's story. You know, he wrote in to the podcast that helped him, that's affected him. And I just read that, and I was affected by that. And now it's out there affecting others. And now, Jared, I and you have that to occupy the space between our years. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Jared, for all that. So I've been on this site before, the Buddha Groove. Or saw it before, whatever. I was like, Buddha Groove, I've seen that before. But it's like this site, and it's Balance by Buddha Groove. So it's a pretty dope name of a site, I think. But I was like, there's inspirational, spiritual, meditation, wellness, guru wisdom. Can't wait to look at that. But it was just this one thing, that this article that I pulled up, and it's very short. But the first quote I just loved, because there's a painful kind of truth to this. The unexamined life is not worth living. Socrates. The unexamined life is someone who's just getting up, going to A, doing B, coming home, doing C, doing D, and not thinking, stopping, pausing, reflecting, questioning. Like what Jared just shared, what I've shared. What me and Mosier share all the time. Because if you're not doing that, and again, this is a quote by Socrates, but I also, you know, I mean, it's not law, but I just, that's how I feel. I mean, if you're just like, oh, I got money and I'm buying things. Oh, I wish I had more money because I want to buy things. Oh, I'm with that person and they don't love me. And you're just like doing this stuff. Because it's a written narrative that you've just done. And you're not going, wait a minute, why? Like, that's all my spiritual quest was about. I was like, why am I doing these things that are, like, unrewarding? That I'm just, you know, I thought, get a girl, be married, be happy, have kids, get a house, get a job. Good. Couldn't do it, couldn't do it, couldn't do it, couldn't do it. Didn't want to do it, didn't want to do that. Didn't like that. Wasn't good at that. Didn't found, you know, happiness doing that. So that's when I examined you know, and asking for help. You know, I'm going to pastors, I'm going to psychiatrists, I'm going to therapists, two to be exact, AA. See, that, none of that sounds fun to anybody listening, does it? But if you're in a bad way and you want help, you ask for help. You get help however you can if you deem yourself worthy. If you don't, let your ego, I don't want people to know I got issues. I don't want people to know I'm not perfect. I don't want to ask for help because then that person will know my stuff. Yay, stay there. You, it's a choice. Congrats. Let me know how it works out for you. I'm going to examine and keep examining and get better at examining my life so it's worth living. Socrates, him and I, we just have always gone along. Awakening. Here's the article. Awakening is about opening your eyes, literally and figuratively, to the nature of our existence. It is about living with mindfulness in every moment and stepping slowly away from ignorance and unknowingness. It is about unplugging from an overconnected world and looking past distractions to discover the true person within us, which is the only place that really matters. There's a treasured Zen story about the nature of awakening and enlightenment. The young monk traveled to a large temple on the mountain to speak to a Zen master. The master asked, "What do you seek?" "Enlightenment," replied the young monk. "You have your own temple. Why do you visit mine?" said the master. The young monk was confused. "Where is my temple, master?" "What, you are asking, is your temple?" said the master. After a moment, the monk smiled. He returned home and told all of his friends, "From that day forward, visit your own temple." We so often seek outside answers for questions that can be resolved simply by slowing down and looking within ourselves. This is what awakening is all about: opening your eyes, observing the details of the present moment, and realizing that life is a beautiful journey and we are headed in the right direction, whether we choose to realize that or not. Good stuff, right? So it had a suggested reading link. I stopped. And then for some reason I was looking for something else and I went back and I'm like, well, let me just read that again. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna read it. I liked it. It made me smile. So let me pay it forward. I can't pronounce any of this stuff. Panchayuda Chataka. Five kinds of weapons. Sounds cool. I mean, if I knew how to say it, that would sound cool. Five kinds of weapons. And I don't even know how to say this word. The Bodhisattva was once born as a son to King Brahmadatta. Okay, we have like less vowels and syllables for the stories, please. At his naming ceremony, I wish I was there, the king's priests prophesied that the prince would become a good and noble ruler, famous for his five weapons. At 16, Prince Panchayuda, five weapons, left home for Taxila to further his education. On completing his studies, his teacher presented him with four weapons: bow and arrows, a sword, a sharp-pointed wheel, and a club. While returning home, the prince was accosted by a fearsome, sticky-feathered ogre who assumed a variety of horrific shapes to threaten the prince. Pachahaduda. I'm almost so close every time. A little different, but just I'm getting close, people. Battled him with the four weapons and his own limbs and head. Alas, to no avail. All of them got stuck to the ogre's feathers. But the ogre could not kill him, transfixed as he was by the prince's expression of calmness. "Aren't you afraid of dying?" he grunted. "Not at all. I have one weapon left, a thunderbolt in my body. Eat me and you too will be destroyed." "Hmm," thought the ogre. Should he take a chance? But this man seemed to be speaking the truth. He set the prince free. The fifth weapon that the prince alluded to was his wisdom. He then preached to the ogre, convincing him to abandon his murderous ways, which would only lead to more darkness and misery in his forthcoming births. The ogre thereupon agreed to become the guardian of the forest and its nearby villages. The ogre in this tale is a metaphor for ignorance and stupidity. In crisis-like situations, preached the Buddha, cool detachment and mindfulness will save us when all other options are exhausted. See, kind of a fairy tale with a story. So, I got some Mosier notes. Mosier notes from the lab. When I train him, we call it the lab. Because we make up workouts and we chat. And it's just a powerful, powerful moment. And it's dope. I mean, I've said it more than once. It's like definitely one of the highlights of my life right now. Is training that dude in our chats. So this was, I trained him twice this past week. And the first session, these were my notes. Behavior before feelings. Mood follows actions. So the first, behavior before feelings. It's the whole thing, him and I, and I've been sharing. And some people are doing really successfully. Some clients of mine and people I mentor. Is the distancing, the separation. Taking out the feelings. How you were feeling about. It's like, well, how do you want to respond? What do you want to do? You know, that before. You know, so it's taking out the feeling. And again, sometimes that sounds cold. But if someone is trying to help you, they're not going to go, look, if you feel bad, do whatever you want, even if it makes you feel worse. Okay, people got to pull you out of, this is how I feel. And number two, mood follows actions. This is all about working out. You're sitting there, laying there, didn't sleep well, got a bunch of stress. You wake up feeling all that yuck. 99% of you is like, I don't want to get off the couch. I want to cover up. I want to stay here. I don't want to go outside. I just want to forget. I want to numb myself. I want to distance myself from my reality. And all that was in your head. You get up and walk outside, walk your dog, or go for a walk by yourself, and just changing your environment affects different stimuli, you know, just because you're walking and your heart's pumping a little bit faster than it was laying on the couch. Now you've got some endorphins, adrenaline, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, this, and all of a sudden you look at, nope, you see a hummingbird. And, you know, there's like so much out that can affect you that can change that state. And you're like, wow, I feel so much better. Why? I was laying down on the couch 5 minutes ago. Now I'm outside vertical and I feel better. Mood follows actions. We can't lay there bummed out hoping we feel like we would if we were walking around outside. So again, action. It's not if you feel like it, act on it. No, action. Because mood follows action. So a bunch of times, naval commander did a commencement speech talking about making your bed. Because all you did, at least you did that. And when you did that, you felt good. If it was a bad day, the rest of the day, you still got to feel good about that one little thing. And it really worked. Because if you're not doing anything, you feel bad. You do something little, you'll feel a little better. You do that little thing consistently, you will feel better. So, oh, I just got it. Yeah. You know, when I feel good, I'm going to start working out and lose weight. Oh, really? When I feel like not eating bad, I'm going to start losing weight. Okay, let me know how that works out for you. And we're talking about kind of the two camps. In the world, really, you know, there's a big division. And one camp is definitely you are your feelings. And this is rarely I comment on stuff like this. So let me be clear. I'm not telling you to wear a mask. I'm not telling you to not wear a mask. I don't care if you wear a mask. I don't care if you don't wear a mask. But what will bother me, or what I will talk about, is someone complaining about wearing a mask. Because that takes time and effort. And most people's time and effort go into what's most important in their life. You're hooked up to a machine. If you're, you know, on the phone trying to get through to your insurance who won't pay for what you're going through medically. If someone that you know and love just got cancer, just passed away, got in a car accident. Those are the things that consume our little bitty free time. But when there's no bad, people get bored. And if someone's going, I don't want to wear a mask, I'm like, wow, that's your struggle, that's your burden, that's your cross you have to bear, carry today. I wish I was you. If I got to go and start, put a mask on, okay, put the mask on, get what I need, walk out the store, take the mask off, get in my car, and I drive. Just it's a whole monk walking, carrying the woman thing. I walked in and out in 5 minutes, took the mask off. You've been carrying that feeling for 3 hours. You've been carrying that woman that I carried for 3 minutes. You've been carrying that woman for 3 hours. And I mentioned a friend just stuck on doesn't believe people should. He's just stuck on it. I'm like, what's it got to do with you? He's like, I'm trying to figure that out. And here's why. Drum roll. Dopamine. Well, pretty much know what it's about, right? It's released in the brain, makes us feel good. I'm pulling up the actual definition. Dopamine is an organic chemical of the catecholamine and phenethylamine families. Dopamine functions as a neurotransmitter in the brain. And when you do things that create dopamine, you kind of crave it. And you'll continue to do that. I think it was a podcast that Scotty was listening to, and he said what they discovered, what also causes dopamine, because it's like, you know, adrenaline, and you know, see things like, oh yeah, you get that makes you feel something, that rush, and then we like that rush. What also triggers dopamine is anger and frustration. And it was like, wow. So there's something like in our brain that's released that makes us feel kind of like good when we are experiencing anger and frustration. And it's kind of like one of those deep rooted kind of things that we're unaware of. But it's almost the same thing as like when I talk about familiarity. And I don't know why I use this example. I'm going to not use that example. I know I just took it out of my brain. It's an example I always use. But if something happens while you're growing up between your parents, within your family, right, wrong, good, or bad, it's familiar. So as you become an adult, if you experience that same thing, maybe other people take it one way, but to you, it's not, because it's familiar. Again, not right, wrong, good, or bad, just familiar and unfamiliar. So I think we grow up with this anger and frustration from whatever. And when that gets quiet and we're not stopping, pausing, reflecting, and questioning and growing, I think there's something inside of us that goes, hey, I got to feel that. Hey, you know, one way, you can pick that fight over there. You can go do that thing there. You can... Hey, you don't like that thing there. They put time and energy there. And we're like, yeah, okay. It's like you feel like you're doing something. But at the end of the day, it's still a waste of time and energy. Which is not the pro you way. All right, we got a big dramatic shift. And, you know, it's like the perfect storm. I love where I am. I love the people in my life. And definitely, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful, like, all the time. And it just makes me present. And I have these moments, and I'm like, wow, I'm thankful for that moment. I'm thankful for these people. And I'm like, and when I'm pausing, I'm like, I like what I said. I never like, oh, I wish I didn't say that. Oh, sometimes I talk too much and I get too excited. But I'm never, like, regretting what I say. I'm just thankful. And now I just feel there's people I really care about, and there's these moments happening where I'm present and I have something to say. Like, I'm helping them in these moments, and I have value and purpose, and it just makes me feel more and more thankful. And I wrote that quote, that little hashtag, nothing else needed. I posted something, and I just said, nothing needed. Not needed, what I say, something different. But it was just like, I was just in that moment, like, nothing, I don't need anything, because I'm in a place where this this overflowing feeling, which means like I'm good. Like, if I'm getting this stuff, I really don't need anything. And I said, you know, if you had the option, you could have exactly what you have now for as long as possible, would you take it? I'm like, yep, I wouldn't even pause or think. I mean, it's that good. And again, come to my well, buy the water I sell. That's what I'm selling. My good is good. And I've really gotten closer to Scott because, you know, we just talk more. And, you know, I started training his wife. And all of a sudden, like, in this middle of the storm, you know, like, the movie industry slows down. And his work slows down. And his dog is kind of slowing down, and last week his wife went in for dental surgery. And I'm thinking, okay, if I had dog problems and dental surgery, which was what exactly I had 2-3 summers ago, I was like, just really testing. So when he just talks about it, I'm like, oh, you know, that empathy feeling it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so thankful about him. I'm so, and I'm like yelling, like, dude, your plate is full. Don't try to accomplish anything. Don't judge yourself. And he's, you know, totally kind of where I was, where his life's slowing down and he's chilling and he's realizing. But we would always kind of talk about how Buddy was keeping him up like most of the night, and he had no booty control. He would just be laying there, and then whoosh, out would come feces. And they had towels out and around, and they ended up getting him diapers. And but you know, even that, when he, you know, lets go, it's a mess. And if he's in the diaper, then they got to wash him, and this is all at night. And then he's kind of walking manically, and he's been deaf for a while, so he can't hear. And he's got this leg that would just kind of slowly, like his hip was going out or something, but his left leg would just slowly start slipping because they have wood floors. So they had to get him these rubber booties, and it was just this thing. And it wasn't like, you know, they say dog years are 7 to 1. Well, there's a new study where it's like, you know, they'll hit like, oh, like a human, say in 40 years, and they'll stay there for this plateau. Like they're that level for a long time, and then they'll get a little bit older, and then they'll hit like another plateau, and they'll stay there. So it's kind of that thing of, well, where are they? And all I've said up until this point is I'm so happy for Buddy, because I know that Scott and his gal love him hard. Like they lost Chica, their other dog, kind of out of nowhere. Buddy's always been the kind of the older, you know, one that might go, and Chica out of the blue last year. So, you know, they're dog lovers. They've had dogs in their lives for the last 18 years. And now, you know, they're just down to Buddy, and they're hitting that point. And they, you know, actually went and spoke to someone about, you know, when is it time? Because, you know, they're pretty much frazzled and drained and beaten up, and you don't see things clearly. And they kind of went through this list. So talking to him Tuesday, and he's like, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe end of the year, but, you know, maybe it's, you know, months away. You know, it's like one of those things. And that was kind of the last chat. Thursday, I'm talking to him, same kind of night, and he goes, tomorrow we have an appointment. An appointment for what? He's like, to put Buddy to sleep. And I went, he's like, well, we kind of had to do it in advance, and it's hard to get in, and we just had it, we could cancel it. He goes, you know, we're going to talk today. But I was like, I was just surprised because Tuesday, but it was just that thing where now exponentially, like it's just, and the thing is, the biggest thing is like, there's no way he's getting any better right now. You know what I mean? Like there's just, he's not going to, oh, now my booty hole works. Oh, now my hip isn't bad. My legs don't slide. I can hear, you know, it's just, it's all just getting worse, and it's starting to wear on Scotty and his wife. And I just felt all that, like, in that moment. Like, I was like, that is, you know, I've done it. Maybe mine was a little bit more clear, and that's kind of the hard part. You know, my dog wasn't actually staying with me at the time, and it was with my ex's best friend, and we were all super close, and she was super cool, so everything was dope. And I hung out with Kyosa, and she called me one day and said, you know, went to the doctor, and he's got 3 tumors. It was just... done, you know, you just, now you know why he's this way, that way, or whatever. He was fine. He wasn't like rolling around in pain, but he was starting to slow down, and it was that time to just kind of bring him in and give him a checkup. And it wasn't really a choice at that point, where it's like that battle of, well, am I just doing this because I'm inconvenienced, which I knew in my heart I kind of needed to give Scott permission. Because you're going to feel that when you love your dog. And it will be the worst decision in the world when that happens to Zen and I. Because if he starts hurting, it's going to be more important for him to be at peace and not hurting than it is for me to have him by my side, which was going to totally rip my heart out of my body. But that's why this whole thing affects me so much, because I did that to a dog. I'm close to Scott. I've met his dogs, Buddy and Chica. You know, I've played with them, you know, so I know who they are. And Scott, he's always sending me pictures of Buddy. And So I was just all of a sudden just like connected. And then it was kind of cool because like that next, after that, I said, look, you know, you got some big stuff going on. And, you know, your girl, like the third or fourth day after surgery is like the worst. And now it was swelling and getting bruised and more pain. And so it was just a gnarly time in the Mosier household. And I'm like, you know, I would, you know, I just don't want to text you, but I want to tell you up front. I just want to give you some space. You want to reach out, please do. But, you know, you got a lot going on. And that next day I kept thinking about him. I just kept, you know, keeping him in my thoughts and prayers the whole time, all three of them. But there were times where I'm like, I just want Scott to know. And there was this, you know, the new version of me going, yeah, but it's not about you. Scott's not sitting there going, oh, he's got to hear from Tom. It's the only reason I would. If Scotty reached out and said, I need to hear from you, I would reach out to him. But all the other 99 reasons out of 100 are because of me. And it was right away. I was like, well, I'm not going to. And I liked that. It wasn't this, well, yeah, but I, no, it's not, it's about you. His plate is full. And I love that I was just at that place. And, you know, a mature place and a calm place and a peaceful place. And so Friday happened and I didn't hear from him and I didn't reach out. And Saturday morning, I'm literally driving with Zen to the dog park. I pull into the puppy park. And I look, and it's a text from Scotty, and I just went, wow. Like, I just knew. And I put the phone on my pocket, and I'm like, I'm going to get out of the car, get Zen into the park, and then I'll read this. He sends a picture of Buddy, which is just, Buddy's a beautiful dog. It's like, you know, you care about someone. Like I care about Scotty. You feel, you know what I mean? It's not about me, but I just felt it. Yesterday was heavy, sad, peaceful, a relief, a broken heart, a release of anxiety and suffering. Our house is empty after 18 years of constant dogs pitter-pattering around. It's peaceful but strange. Thanks for all your support. Your voice was in my head yesterday as we drove there. Time for healing. Going on a hike. Oh, so, I'm walking around the puppy park. Sunglasses on. Taking my sunglasses off. Crying. Wiping my tears. Walking around. Taking my sunglasses off. Because as soon as I texted him back. I read that. I texted him back. And I was, you know, it was like texting back, nothing. And as soon as I sent that text, I put my phone away. It was like everything I felt the last 48 hours just started bubbling up. Because it was like I wanted to be there for Scott, not make it about me. And it was like, okay, now that's done. Now I can, because I, you know, I know how that feels and I felt it. And I felt bad for Buddy and then I felt peace. That Buddy felt peace, and I just felt like Chica and Buddy were going to be reunited, and all dogs go to heaven. It's not my rule. It's just a rule. And I go over there together, and, you know, just I just felt a lot. I just could not stop the tears. I'm walking around this dog park, and I'm just wiping my eyes and crying, and I'm like, yeah, this is me. Welcome to my world. It just hit me hard. And again, because, you know, I've told the story, Kilsa, that, you know, I ended up putting to sleep and holding as he was put to sleep. I never thought about losing him. And I was away from him. 2-3 months I was in Japan, 1.5 years or so. I was in L.A. and I found him. It was a great place in Vegas. Old couple, big yard, pond, a pool in the back. And then all of a sudden, we got to move him to California to my ex's best friend. And he stayed there. And for the last year, I think it was a year or two. And then all of a sudden, boom, just, hey. I mean, and he was old. For a Rottweiler, he was old, 15. So it wasn't shocking. but I never thought about what it would be like without him, because I was kind of without him. But I'm a different me. And when I got Zen, I was already a different me. And I think to get Zen, I had to be in a really different place, like way better than I was before. Because if you know, like I said, when I got divorced for the second time and I moved in here, I mean, I was like, okay, this is like the worst, you know, the most fragile, vulnerable, afraid, you know. So it's like for me to get to a place where I'm like, I'm going to get a dog. I knew I had to be in a good place. And right away, it was just the responsibility fell on me. You weren't that good before. You better do this good. You got this, dog. You got one shot. You better do it good. It was just loud and clear what was, you know, my job, what I was. And then, you know, all of a sudden he became my teacher and he humbled me, and it was just constant guilt. I think it was the first week I cried thinking one day I'm going to lose you. And I wanted to have that. I want to walk around with the knowledge that one day this beautiful, majestic, spiritual being will leave my life. And I want to walk around with that knowledge. And there's one thing that, you know, Scott and I talk about, and he's done a lot of study on the Buddhist culture, religion. And he said, you know, they just, you know, look, it's about accepting suffering. Life is about suffering. And that concept. And I really got it. I understood it. And then one day, this thought hit me. Or said, if you thought about life, what does it mean? And I went, you're born, the life you live, and then you die. All of that, to me, is life. So it's like I understand what the Buddhists were talking about. That, well, death is part of that. It's not A and B, black and white, one and two. You live and then you die. It's like, no, life. You're born, you live, you die. That's life. That's the full circle. So yes, death is part of that. And with that comes suffering. You lose people, you lose pets. You lose siblings, jobs, spouses, health. And not saying, you know, woe is me or it's bad. It's just, no, it's thinking that, well, when do I not have that? It's like, well, you're not going to not have that. It's part of it. It's like you're going to take a trip, vacation somewhere you've never been and go, I hope nothing goes wrong at all. It's like, well, don't go. You've never been there. You've never done this. The odds are that something that could, but you just respond. It's part of the package. You can't get life without death. No mud, no lotus. That's going to be the title. Just came up with that as a title, not the phrase. Got the phrase from Scotty. I think it was from, I don't know, it was a book or a podcast, and he's like, no mud, no lotus. And it was like, exactly. I mean, if you want the beauty of a lotus flower, you're going to have to go where it's muddy, because that's where they grow. You need mud to experience the lotus. So if you want life, suffering's part of that. But it's not bad. Because, you know, I've had a lot of suffering, and I'm here, best I've ever been, talking to you now. But I think just being aware of that is fantastic for you and I. Yeah, I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm not going to be here. Yeah, Zen's going to die. Yeah, Zen's not going to be here. I'm going to live like that. I'm going to live with that knowledge right here. What matters most, Zen? My health, his health. Wow. That's two of the four things you're thankful for that you say 30 times every day. Yeah, it's big to me. My health, Zen's health. We got that. And, you know, my health, I'm praying and hope and doing everything I can is stays as good as it does for as long as it can. But it's not going to stay where it is forever, nor is Zen's. I'm fully accepting. I'm not going, oh, I accept it, therefore it won't hurt. I understand it and I'm aware of it, therefore it won't rip my heart out. No. I will suffer. I will suffer huge. So I'm going to end on a happy note. Making stuff in the Zen garden. Probably down to once a week to the beach. And that was, you know, kind of a little separation from that. And I guess kind of stepping back, slowing down a little bit. And I was just at home and just, you know, I had this mirror and it was just against the wall behind this hutch I made. And I'm like, well, why don't I just put a wooden frame around it? I mean, if it's sitting there, just have a wooden frame around it. And that turned into this super cool experience. I had these three metal sphere balls that I bought at this metal shop years ago. And I would always put them somewhere or put them, you know. So I would always move them around like one day because I like little metal stuff. I went into that metal store and I bought like 15 little things. It was like Tommy at the age of six walking around finding little metal stuff. And I had my pockets full of stuff. It was all metal. And I had these two pieces, you know, I made this. Well, actually, I was sent a piece of art from a friend. Like, hey, look what I did. And I'm like, I loved it. I'm like, printed it up. I made a frame. So I had to buy scrap wood for this framed mirror. And when I was there, I found this scrap wood. And I'm like, that'll be cool for this little frame. So I was framing this little piece of art. I made a 5x7 picture of it. But with matting and the wood turned out dope and the scrap wood of that, I glued together, put a Found Art logo on it, and glued those three metal spheres together, just like for like this little logo little thing. But it was just so cool to do all of this in the Zen garden. Like, I live in this apartment, you know, obviously decorated way different than everybody else's, but my windows are open, my doors are open. Zen and I are spending out time. You know, I go inside and I got my chop saw, which outside is loud. And for some reason, inside it wasn't. I mean, I closed the door and the window to the courtyard, but, you know, it took me, you know, probably 8 cuts. And just boom, 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 done. Swept up, dustpan. And I'm like, you know, I just cut wood. And then I go outside and I'll sand it and I'll bring it back inside and I'll glue it and then I'll stain it and then I'll do this and that. And I was just like I can, and the greatest thing outside of the scrap wood I bought on the, for the mirror, I bought these black plates. They were kind of oversized and I loved them. But outside of that, everything else, the stuff I had, I mean, I have like kind of everything. And then I got like a little surplus of stuff. So if I need little pieces of wood or pieces of metal or screws or washers or nuts or bolts or hinges or whatever, I just got a ton of that stuff. Not a ton of it, but I just have a lot of that stuff I just collected, which is so great when you know, you're a person like me, you want to make stuff. So then I got this little, it's almost like one of those, when you go outside and you got those wooden boxes around gardens, there's flowers and stuff, planter boxes. It's basically that, and it was kind of three pieces of wood, like three squares glued together to make this planter box that's like 6 inches by 10 inches. And I found it when I got home. The one box was kind of not that attached. I pulled it off and it just seemed like it was like poorly glued or something. Well, all of a sudden I looked at it as, oh, wow, there's this base and this top. Oh, and I had made boxes before. I'll make this box. And I love making these little boxes, but all of a sudden I was like, I grabbed this metal and I grabbed a hinge and I'm like, I'll make it all black. And it's like, and I'm going on and on and on. But you can tell how passionate I am. And you can tell how much fun I'm having. And it's not for money. It's not for affirmations from other people. It's not for likes. It's not for reward. It's not for money. and it's July of 2020. You know, the second shutdown hit L.A. And, you know, some businesses that barely made it through the first one might not make it through the second one. And unemployment and politics and coronavirus. I mean, it's just all still out there. I created. Here we go. This is what I'm going to read. I just posted this. I'm going to end with this. This is perfect, I believe. A little about me. Turned 55 this past March. I'm the best I've ever been. I'm closer to the real me than ever before. My best friend is Zen. His Instagram, Zen the Brindle Pitbull. My art, Found Art by TJD. My podcast, Pro You Podcast by TJD, on iTunes and Libsyn every Thursday. I walk the earth, have experiences, and then share those experiences. A verbal journal, if you will. Come to my well by the water I sell. I chant quite often. I don't tell anyone what to do. I just share what I did and why it worked for me. The Pro You path is one of self-discovery. Sorry, but everyone's journey is different, unique, and why you must walk it. No one else can walk it for you. What I'm selling for free? I have less of everything than I've ever had, and I'm the best I've ever been. I've shared my life and my journey through my Pro You podcast the last 5 years, a documented journey. I posted a photo of me at 55 in March. Since I'm always preaching consistency, I thought I would not just talk the talk but walk it and post a monthly photo demonstrating accountability and consistency. I pursue balance full time. I've created a life I won't have to retire from. My focus is on my small world and what I can control. I found purpose. I found peace in simply being the best me. TJD, you are worth it. To your Pro You moment. As always, stoked you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can and feel good about it. Eyes closed, seated on the floor, legs crossed. If you can, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Draw the inhale through the nose, allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to elongate both. We're going to slow both of them down. We're going to be in control. And to be in control, we need to be focused. And to be focused, we need to connect our mind and our body. It's a lot to focus on that, so occupy the space between your ears. Anything else enters, kindly, calmly, ask it to leave, and simply return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Bravo. Congrats. Another pro you moment in the books. Yeah, almost every time I finish this, I think, wow, 180 seconds, that's a little thing, but do it consistently and it'll build something powerful. And we just did it again. So if you've been doing it since the beginning, it's 359 pro you moments. That's building something in you. Undeniable. Better you is emerging, evolving, seeking enlightenment, believing true power comes to those that focus on that which they can't control and letting go of that which they cannot. The fruits of your labor along this path are endless. It's like each day there's reward waiting for me just by simply being the best me. Being a better you helps you. Being a better you helps all those people that you love the most. It's a win-win. Begin today if you haven't. If you have, keep going. There's no bad in the better you. Peace and God bless.